The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. Oh, the most merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is a question. Why does Allah test us? Today, Friday, is the 14th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this time, we'll listen to verse 31 of chapter Muddathir.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وما جعلنا أصحاب النار إلا ملائكة ملائكة وما جعلنا عدتهم إلا فتنة للذين كفروا ليستيقن الذين أوتوا الكتاب ويزداد الذين آمنوا إيمانا ولا يرتاب الذين أوتوا الكتاب والمؤمنون وليقول الذين في قلوبهم مرض والكافرون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا كذلك يضل الله من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء وما يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو وما هي إلا ذكرى للبشر.
And we have not made the keepers of the fire except angels. And we have not made their number except as a trial for those who disbelieve. That those who were given the scripture will be convinced, and those who have believed will increase in faith. And those who were given the scripture and the believers will not doubt. And that those in whose hearts is hypocrisy and the disbelievers will say, "What does Allah intend by this as an example?" Thus does Allah leave astray whom He wills, and guides whom He wills. And none knows the soldiers of your Lord except Him. And mention of the fire is not but a reminder to humanity.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The remarks clearly reflect the divine will as to guiding some people and leading some others astray is well measured. Those who are in error deserve no better than that, and those obedient to Allah deserve such guidance. In other words, God Almighty does not intend to harm some people by leading them astray, but error is the disbeliever's chastisement. Put the case that the thief breaks into your home and you lock the door. Confining him does not entail leading him astray, but it aims at chastising him.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا
And the question of this episode of today's special, why does Allah test us? The moment a trial strikes you, remember to be patient. The Prophet said the real patience is at the first stroke of a calamity. If it's difficult to be patient, then pretend to be patient. And the pretense will soon turn real. The best way to do it is to just keep silent and pray to Allah for patience. As Allah in chapter 7, verse 126 said, O Lord, pour upon us patience and let us die as Muslims. Look at the beauty of this dua. When does one come to the verge of losing faith? When some disaster totally destroys a person, you will find many atheists complaining. Where was God when such and such happened to me? So we ask Allah's help against this ultimate disaster, loss of faith. So whenever sometimes bad happens, say as the Prophet said, to Allah we belong and to Him is our return. O Allah, take me out of my plight and replace it with something which is better.
The slightest harm, they try to avoid the burden of responsibility. They run away in wars, or they take the path of compromise. So they are all lessons that we need to take from Quranic verses. And with excuses such as we are afraid that the harm, we are afraid that their harm will come to us. They refuse to actually to get involved in the divine test and this divine obligation. But the next group of people are the ones who sacrifice themselves and for the sake of their faith and iman. And they really trust in the face of the factors of fear. And they are actually easily passing this test as they are, I mean, they are steadfast in whatever they have actually selected as their own way of life. As it has been stated in the Holy Quran, yes, Allah says that when people with the people of faith were told that the situation is dangerous and your enemies are armed, you should retreat from your faith. But we see that their trust and faith would increase.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special, we look at reasons why we are tested. These tests are meant to purify us. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "No calamity befalls a Muslim but that Allah expiates some of his sins because of it, even if it were the prick of a thorn." Tests are not a punishment from Allah. They are a part of his infinite mercy. Through them, he eliminated some of our mistakes and sins. And of course, these trials are nothing in comparison to those of the hereafter. When we look at the ways to face trials with a positive heart, we reach to this part. Do not underestimate dua. Yes, just like WhatsApp, if we could see blue ticks every time Allah heard our duas, how amazing would that be? But we don't even need that, because more amazing is the promise of Allah to us. And when my servants ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. You can find it in chapter 2, verse 186 of the Holy Quran. The most amazing part about this ayah is that Allah did not say, "When my pious servant calls upon me." He just say, "Supplicant," which could be anyone. Allah promises that he will respond to the supplication of anyone without the need of a mediator. So sit in a quiet place, raise your hands and talk to Allah. He is the one who knows you the best, the one who whom you can complain, the one who can rectify any situations for you.
أمير المؤمنين هو مولى الموحدين الإمام علي بن أبي طالب states, he says, لكل شيء آفة. Everything has this notion of آفة. Everything. وآفة الحلم الذل. Having so much patience. No matter what happens, we say, we're going to endure this. We're going to handle this difficulty. No matter what happens, I observe patience. That also comes with humility. That's where we're tested. So brothers and sisters, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen goes through a set of qualities, position, fame, money, popularity, and he mentions the afa in regards to every one of them. However, many of us today watching, or we think about specific people into our lives and we say, how come we didn't become the specific person? How come God chose this guy and not me? Or what difficulty would it have to be, for example, a prime minister or a president or a great scholar or someone with so much fame and popularity? Where would the test be? And it's probably not as hard or it's not as difficult. Let's look at the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen once again and how he highlights some of the afat that I would think many of us question on a daily basis. He says, afatu riyasah al-fakhr. The afa and the bane in presidency is fakhr, to be prideful. You find a president that is successful. It's a blessing from God that He's given you this position and you're very successful at it. Where does the test lie? In having pride. As soon as this pride takes over me, then my decline begins. That's why you sometimes find the most prudent, successful of presidents embarking on the journey of failure, because they are tested with the afa of fakhr. وَآفَةُ الْقَوِيِّ اسْتِضْعَافُ الضَّعِيفِ. And the afa, or the bane, or the test, and having power and being powerful, and being the most powerful nation, and being the most powerful president, and being the most powerful army, in being the most powerful economy, also comes with a bane, also comes with a test. What is it? Belittling the opponent. Belittling the weak. Underestimating the weak.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this topic, why does Allah test us, on the next episode, tomorrow. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we're commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, here is a statement to ponder upon her God-given merits by her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the noblest lady of the world of her time. But my daughter Fatima is the noblest ever lady of all times. from the beginning until the end.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith. And this hadith is about suspicion and spying on other people. This hadith has been reported from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet Muhammad has been reported to have said, "Beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the greatest lie. And do not probe one another for information, nor spy on one another." In the Holy Quran we read, "Avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And do not spy on or backbite one another. Will any of you love to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, and be wary of Allah. Indeed, Allah is all clement, all merciful." Also, it has been reported from the Holy Prophet Muhammad that he said, the Prophet said, "I have not been ordered to pry open the hearts of people, nor to cleave their bellies for information or flaws. It's been reported that one time Umar ibn al-Khattab was making his way through Medina at night when he heard a man singing in his home. He jumped over the fence and said, "O enemy of Allah, did you think that Allah would conceal you while you disobey him?" The man retorted, "What about you, O commander of the faithful? Do not hasten to punish me, for if I disobeyed Allah once, you did so three times. He has said, 'Do not spy,' and you did spy on me." He also said, "Enter the homes from their doors," but you jumped over my fence and without my permission. And Allah the Exalted says, "Do not enter homes that are not yours until you are invited and until you greet their owners." Umar said, "Is there any good in you if I decide to pardon you?" The man said, "Yes." Then Umar pardoned him and departed. Right, so spying on people and probing into their flaws, this is one of the, this is a very grave sin, and one should avoid it. Nothing good comes out of this. It's better to, leave people to themselves. Of course, this does not go against the order of enjoining the right and prohibiting the evil. These two orders do not contradict one another. If we come to know about the evil that a person is committing or the good that he has forsaken, then we should do Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. Otherwise, we're not ordered to go around and probe into people's lives and find out whether they're doing good and evil, and then then exhort them to do so. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at suspicion and spying in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we have some of the students of Sevier International School in holy city of Qom, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, brother Hassan Nasrullah. How are you?
Salam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir.
Alaykum assalam. Alhamdulillah. How are you,
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir. How are
okay,
you?
Okay, that's good. I'm good. Alhamdulillah. And Hussein Rahullah?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Everything is all right?
Yes.
Okay, so I really welcome you all. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasser, today our main topic is to talk about Ayah 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRB English Radio, please make sure you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 21 of Surah of the Quran Kareem, Ayah 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Juz'ul Awwal. So, let's once everyone listen to this.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. I'm gonna read it. Please make sure you listen and repeat. Ready?
Yes.
Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا
وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا
قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا
قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا
وما كان من المشركين
وما كان من المشركين
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. One important point I have to tell you about how to improve in your recitation. All right? This is an important point, guys. I might have mentioned it before, but brothers and sisters, listen to this, please. If you want to get very much fluent, very much good at recitation, there are some steps. All right? First important step is that you have to be able to read the Quran correctly. Look, I'm reading this way. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Even if you don't know Tajweed, at least you should be able to read the words, the harakat correctly. If you, for example, read وَقَالُوا While there is waqalu, right? If you make these mistakes, your recitation is not going to be good anyway. Okay? It's not going to be good. You make sure you fix all the mistakes in reading of the Quran. For then when you learned the reading and fluency level 1, level 2 of the Quran Kareem, when you finish this, then you can practice with some audios. I can introduce you. The reciter, his name is Al-Husari, Khalil, Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari. Some other reciters as well, okay? But I have chosen this for some of my students I've introduced. So Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari, he has many levels of recitation and practicing, okay? He has many levels, the audios, okay? The very important one, the best one, is when you want to practice the reading, not recitation. Look, reading with the recitation, they are different. Reading is the way you read, like textbooks. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى This is reading, okay? Or you say وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا This is reading. Recitation is that you have vocal sounds. وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا Look, this has a voice, okay? So it's different. For the first step is you should be perfect at reading. Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari has an application, okay? I've downloaded it today. And you can find it on Quran for Android as well, in app stores. And also you can go to iOS for iOS systems, okay? You can also download this. It's called It's called Husari, okay? Muallim Gapless. The name of the audio. Husari, Muallim Gapless. Or Al-Mushaful Muallim. Mushaful Muallim Khalil Mahmoud Khalil Husari. Download this audio, okay? He recited very well. Let's listen to one of to this ayah with Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari and Muallim Gapless or Mushaf Al-Muallim. Let's once listen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa qalu kunu hudan aw nasara tahtadu. قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Yeah, look how beautiful it was. So he reads it this way. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. Right? He recited it this way. So he does, he reads it this way, okay? He doesn't recite. So when you finish this level, when you were so good at reading, even with tajweed rules, then you can go for the next step, which is recitation. And again, he has levels of recitation, okay? He has mujawwad recitation. He has gapless recitation. The mujawwad one is slow recitation. Like he says,
وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا.
He recited this way. Slow, okay? But recites it. Then Mujawwad, and this is Mujawwad one. And then Gapless one, he is faster, like Tartil we have, okay? Tartil one. So he recited that way, okay? So steps are there. So for if you want to get professional at reading correctly and with good voice, okay? Also reading with good voice. So try Khalil Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari, Mushaf
Al-Muallim.
Mushaf Al-Muallim. I have the two apps, two parts it has, okay? I have here. I can give you part one, part two, okay? So, brothers and sisters, you can download on App Store. It's available, okay? It's written Mushaf Al-Husari, Mushaf Al-Muallim for adults, okay? Part one, part two. So, thank you so much. That was a message, and I don't think we have much time to explain about this ayah, so just let's go to Tajweed rules, all right?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the explanation, please refer to the Tafsir book because we explained some about recitation, reading. We don't have much time. So, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا. Just let me say the translation, okay? That's enough. And they say, okay, who say? The Christians and the Jews. Be either Jews or Christians. Okay? Why? Why? They say that you may be rightly guided. They're inviting us to be Christians or Jews so that we will be guided. Come on, you should be a Christian. You'll be guided. Okay? Say, rather, we will follow the creed of Abraham alayhi salam, a Hanif, the one who was on the straight path. And he was not one of the polytheists. He was a theist. Okay? He was. Theist means the one who believes in one God. And polytheist means the one who believes in many gods. Astaghfirullah, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a polytheist. So, guys, let's go for the tajweed rules. Waqalu, make sure it has a vowel, a long vowel. Kunu, vowel. Hudan, long vowel. Three long vowels. So, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا. Three long vowel sounds. Pay attention. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا. All right?
Yes.
هُودًا. Here we have تَنْوِين plus hamza. So, what is the rule? We say that for each تَنْوِين, for each نُنْ سَاكِن, we have a rule. So,
for this
one, how should we do? Know this?
The alif mad.
The
mad letter.
Where is the mad letter?
Oh no, tanween. Sorry. The tanween.
We just tanween.
Yeah.
We just pronounced the tanween.
That alif is there to tell you that if you stop here, tanween fatha is changed to alif.
Yes.
That's nothing else. Okay.
We
it
just
doesn't say it mad.
Recite dal jaz as it, just as it is. Hudan.
Ah.
And
recite it the way it is.
Yeah.
Don't change anything. Idhar. Mashallah tafawad. Mashallah. Hudan aw nasara. Why? Because hamza is throw letter. Idhar is applied. Idhar means nurul.
Yes.
Aw nasara. Two heavy letters. Do not write nasari. Because ya, that's not actually ya. That's alif maqsura. Nasara. Tahtadu. Tahtadu. Qala. Right? There is qala. It's
yes.
A sign of stopping. What is what?
Waqf is better.
Waqf is better. What is
to
what?
Stop.
Waqf is better.
Yes.
Then, wasl. Better to stop here. Qul bal millata Ibrahima hanifan.
Hanifa,
hanifan. Okay. So, again, sala here. Sala is just opposite of qala, right?
Yeah,
better to?
Continue.
Wasl is better.
Continue.
Okay. Hanifan. Here, tanwin fatha. Have you stopped? Changes to?
Alif.
Alif mat hanifa. Okay. Wama kana minal
mushrikeen.
There is no other difficult rule. So simple rules are here. But guys, remember those points that I told you about levels of reading and recitation. Okay. Download those apps. Inshallah, you'll be having a good time and you will have a good experience, inshallah, okay, with learning the Quran. So I've done it with one of my students. Hey, he's so good now. Alhamdulillah, he's reciting. His reading is very good now. He has just done for like 50 sessions or 60 sessions, and now he can read Quran very easily. He's in UK. So alhamdulillah, it's very good. You just need to search a little bit, okay? There are a lot of apps that can help you a lot. So guys, thank you so much. Do you have any questions?
No.
Hassan Hussein, Adi Nasser, nothing?
No.
Brothers and sisters, no questions? Oh, okay, no questions. Thank you. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International School, which is an English international school. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program. And my guest speakers in the studio, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Very happy to be here again.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, starring very famous names in Hollywood, such as Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg and Teresa Ruiz. Before me asking you a question regarding this movie, I want you to listen to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
Stuart Long, what does this period of formation offer?
Well, it's hard to say, Father. If I had to guess, I'd say something beyond my wildest dreams.
Let us all pray that in due time, Stuart may be found worthy to receive the baptism of new birth, the renewal in the Holy Spirit, and to complete his initiation through the sacraments of confirmation in Eucharist.
Hallelujah.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize in these series of programs Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, the movie Father Stu. So there it is, the critique of this movie. Of course, we have started it, in fact, from a couple of episodes ago. And with Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Well, regarding that part of the movie, Sister Asma, you know, why are there foul things, you know, by foul things, I mean like the things that we consider as very much sinful, such as, for example, alcohol and porn, available so much or so prevalent in some countries. I'm talking about non-Muslim countries, obviously, yes. You know. Despite their, you know, physical and moral consequences and bad effects, first of all. We all know that the prophets, as we know them, you know, I'm not talking about only the prophet of Islam. I'm talking about all the prophets from the beginning to, from Adam to Muhammad, you know, peace be upon him and his whole family. You know, never approach those evil things. And on the contrary, they denounce them, you know.
Of course.
Yet some of their followers are infected and tempted by these foul things. Why?
Well, see, it's about human nature. We have been promised by the Satan to be deviated from the right path of salvation. So it's a promised thing to happen to human beings.
Except those who are righteous.
Exactly, except those who are righteous. I was saying that when we have such temptations in ourselves, so there's no way for us to control it all. Sometimes there are some slips and that are inevitable and they might happen. But the door is always open. I guess those foul things that you say that exist among human beings refers to their nature, and it's inevitable, and it might happen to all the people. It doesn't matter where they are living.
Yes.
Because everybody is prone to doing mistakes or whatever, maybe even sins. But the point is, when you notice that something is wrong in you or with you, you have to go and just check it out. And the process of recognition is very important. When you start to understand that you are doing something which is pretty much sinful, the mere fact that you start to confess to yourself that this is wrong and I'm sure that what I'm doing is going to have some bad consequences for me, and you come up with the notion that, okay, I'm going to change myself and God would help me, I guess this is the important part in that, because all those foul things exist and they would exist forever as long as human beings are living in this world and they have free will and they have this temptation inside them and all the tools are available for them. So they could go in the wrong way, but the process of pretension is very important.
Mm-hmm. I get it. It's very, you know, difficult actually to quit you know, the bad habits or the old habits, this is what they say, you know, especially when it comes to addiction, like if yes. somebody's addicted to, for example, alcohol or any narcotics, you know,
mm-hmm.
well, it would be very difficult for that individual to quit, right?
Of course.
But when it comes to non-addiction or non-addictive scenarios,
mm-hmm.
Why are individuals, you know, still, let's say, insistent on committing those sins or
Well, not all people are that much evolved in order to resist all the temptations they see in the process of their life. So I guess that's the answer is just temptation.
They know, despite the fact that they know there would be some kind of physical, physiological, let's say, bad effects or consequences.
Yes, see, there's an example. I always say that chocolate is bad for me, but still I would eat it. I know it's bad for me, it has some consequences, but I'm so interested to know, to have more of it, you know? We have this sense in us, I guess, that makes us want more of what we even know is bad for us. Mm-hmm. There's an urge inside of us that invite us to all the things that we have done or we are doing in our lives, and we know they have some bad consequences, but still we do.
Yeah, I see.
Because that's human beings, I guess. That's humanity.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. Of course, we are not going to talk about like some of the hormonal or physiological, let's say, secretion of some of the hormones in the body, mm-hmm. such as dopamine or stuff like
exactly,
that, which
the effect
are
of, your produced
if you, for example, eat chocolate, as you were talking about, or sweet or candy
yes,
or whatever.
The endorphin would be coming yeah. in my blood pressure, and then that would do a lot of good things for me. I would feel happy.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie Father Stu. Produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, and then we'll be back with its critique and its question. Don't go away.
Confession, acknowledging our sins in word, action, and omission, and resolving to not sin again. For this, we do penance and are granted forgiveness.
Like doing laundry. That's a Sunday thing, too. Here, I thought it'd be all complicated.
What's it? I'm afraid it's not that simple. The essential part of penance is a firm and true repentance, motivated by faith and the love of God. This is called perfect contrition.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers in the studio, trying to help me criticizing the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Well, according to that part, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, there is the priest teaching the converts about confession and its base or basic, you know, tenet, penance.
Mm-hmm.
The essential part of penance, this is what he says, the priest, is a firm and true repentance motivated by faith and the love of God. This is called perfect contrition. Well, my question to you is, how is the Islamic notion of penance different or even similar to Christianity?
From an Islamic perspective, that there's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam where he heard a person says astaghfirullah, and Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, wayhak inna al-istighfar ala sab'a ma'ani, that if you want to repent or ask for forgiveness, there are seven things that you have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
There's seven pillars or tenets that you have to fulfill in order for you to seek for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. or to repent or to confess to Allah. So
what are those seven things?
So the Imam, he goes through the seven things. First, he says there has to be the notion of regret. Mm-hmm. You have to be you have to be sincere in your repentance. You have to make sure that you have to have the determination not to do it again. Because if you're going to do it again, you say, astaghfirullah, but you're going to do it again, then you haven't done nothing. Then you have to return the rights of people back to them, mm-hmm. or if you've taken that.
Yes.
If you have to give back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is due to him. And he says you have to melt your body from the sins that it got in the same way that you made it fat from that sin.
Mm-hmm.
So basically not only you need to work on mentally, no, you need to work physically as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So all these things, it says once these things are met and you do them correctly, then say astaghfirullah.
Right.
So they are moving from that Christian perspective in the confession. They were moving from that perspective, but in application, it is, doesn't work. Because mm-hmm. you still end up going to a box and saying, Father, forgive me for I've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that person is sincere in his forgiveness?
Yes.
How do you know he's genuine in his forgiveness? He kills someone and says, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. The father says, you've forgiven my son. He walks outside, and 2 hours later, like the sister said, he, you know, okay, I'm sinless free, but it feels so good to kill. Let me go kill someone else. He's giving him a license to kill.
Yeah.
So you don't know. That's why in Islam we say no. Leave it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're not sure. Did Allah forgive me or did he not forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
And that stage of being afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not being forgiven is what makes you not do it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you commit it, you feel scared. So you say, I'm not going to do it again. We have a beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. He says, a mu'min, when he commits a sin, it's like a rock on top of a head that he's constantly watching that could fall on him any minute.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we're a Muslim.
Nice imagery, someone, by the way.
Huh?
Nice imagery.
Yeah. So a normal person, he says, when he commits a sin, it's like a fly. It sits on his face and he gets it off. Right? He just gets rid of it. That's a sin between a mu'min and a non-mu'min.
Mm-hmm.
So where a mu'min takes his sin seriously, it could crash him at any minute. I don't know if Allah has forgiven me, which means I have to keep working so hard to stay in that path of righteousness. So when Christianity is the other way, Christianity says no matter how much you've sinned, you can come and we'll clean it for you. So when they were talking about the confession, they were stating the actual formula. But is it applied? No. That's a problem.
How is it related to the payment that is done, in fact, as part of the confession? Does it do any good, like, to your sin and to the absolution of your sins?
Look, payment always comes, like, even in Islam, it comes as a way to show your sincerity towards what you've committed. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always in the Quran, he says, when alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat,
mm-hmm.
there's always an attachment to amal.
Yeah.
Even Allah, when he talks about sins, he says, Allah will forgive you sins, considering the fact that you will act. There's an action required.
Both theoretical and practical aspects. Exactly.
So there's a practical action needs to be done.
Yes.
So for example, I committed a lot of sins. I said, oh Allah, forgive me for my sins, and I would like to help in return. I would like to give money in return.
Right.
I would like to, you know, give charity, help orphans, do whatever. So that should make not only it, Allah will forgive my sins, but he will, you know, it will make up for it. The same thing with the Christianity, that when you give money, they take in the same notion as well, that when you're trying to save, help the church, save the church, do things for the church, do God's work with it. So when they take the money from you, obviously they meant to spend it on trying to bring more people to God or help or do God's work,
for the sake
basically
of God,
what they say. So it's always money always work in a way where it should smooth your way into repentance kind of thing.
I see.
So it works, I think it works in all religions as well.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We were trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.